My guest is Gary Douglas, who is a CEO. He is an author. He is a gentleman who has started a lot of different things and been successful in his life. And one of the things that he is successful in, or believes in it anyway, is benevolent capitalism, that you don't have to be a hard butt to be a successful business person. Now, that might fly in the face of what a lot of folks think, but Gary, a psychologist and a sought-after international speaker, he started some time ago Access Consciousness, some 25 years ago. His work has spread to 173 countries, and he's here joining us. He's in Houston right at the moment, but he's taking the time to be with us on the program. That's a very interesting concept, Gary, benevolent capitalism. Does it work?
Yes, it does. And it's like, you know, the funny part about it is, it's like we did a benevolent capitalism. We did a four-day class in Melbourne, Australia. And from that, we had like 50 people, and we are starting a 20-minute blog thing to actually have people share what occurred for them. And one of the things that's funny, we did this benevolent capitalism class, and there was a guy who he'd grown up in Austria. And so Austria was a socialist country for a long time. I think still is. But they, you know, it's like he grew up a socialist. And I gave him flack about, you know, you can't be a capitalist and a socialist, and you're trying to make money. So how do you do both? And, you know, you need to look at it and look at it. So what do I really want to create? And the thing about socialism and communism and all these different isms is they were all designed with the idea of making something better.
Well,
and, you know, and the original definition of capitalism was to increase your per capita, your head of stock, basically.
Okay.
So it's like it was about having more cattle in your life, or more wives, or something. I'm not sure.
Well,
but
I think it's an intriguing idea. And let me first of all say welcome to the show and thank you for joining us. I should, you know, start that way. But I'm so intrigued by this idea that somebody is willing to say, yes, you can be kind, you can be gentle, and you can be successful in business. And that's what you're saying. If you happen to operate from benevolent capitalism, you can make money, be successful, but still be a human being.
Yeah, you can. And it's like, for me, it's like, you know, the old idea of benevolent is to do well for all.
Give us an example.
Yeah.
Give some companies that you say operate from the benevolent concept.
Okay, so for, you know, it's like with my business, okay? I will hire somebody to work for me, but I will, you know, it's like I don't go, okay, I need somebody who does this, this, and this. I say, these are the 10 things I need done. Which of these are you good at?
Okay.
And, you know, it's like, and nobody hires that way except me. And it's like, which of these are good at, and which of these would you like to do? And as a result, the people who come go, what, I get to choose my job? I said, sure. It's like, you know, it's like, I can do anything.
They're going to be a lot more productive, aren't they? If they believe that you want them to do what they're best at, you're going to get a more productive person if it matches up to your business.
Exactly. And that's what I'm most interested in. How do I get people to be the most productive they can possibly be? And that's actually occurring.
Okay.
And I get these people to change the way they look at things. And I talked to one lady that I had working for me. And she said, well, you have this choice, and this choice. And this one has, I said, wait, hold, please. Okay, look, I hired you for your awareness, not to give me stats. I can find stats on my own.
Right, right.
I don't want stats. I want to know what works.
I think it's fascinating because what you're saying is that you are actually asking that person there questions that give you a better insight as to where they would be most productive for you.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's so amazing because, I mean, I have people who go, you know, that go to work with me, and I consider people work with me, not for me. Because for you means you have to keep on top of them, make sure everything's going on. And it's like, that's micromanagement. And micromanagement always fails. It always fails.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's like, from my perspective, you got to look at how do you get this person to be the best they can be, and in so doing, support you in becoming the best you can be. And that's what I do with people. It's like they start to work with me. They say, okay, my job is going to be this. And then pretty soon they're doing three times the amount that they started out doing for no more money because they're so enthused about the fact that they actually get to do what they love.
It's such an interesting concept, and I suspect, and when we come back, I'll ask you the question, I'll ask you it again, name me some companies besides yours, which is Access Consciousness, and folks, it's practiced in over 173 countries, and he operates several other companies, including that, and it's a $10 million business, so we have a person who knows from whence he speaketh, and when we come back, I'll ask him to name some companies besides Access and Consciousness that he thinks are benevolent capitalists. List at work. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. My guest is a successful businessman, Gary Douglas. He doesn't believe what many people believe, that the business is seen as a hard, ruthless game, and that the word capitalism rarely conjures up images of kindness and goodwill, but he believes it is not only possible but easy to run a business that increases your wealth and contributes to society simultaneously. And, Gary, give me three or four companies that you say are a perfect example, successful and benevolent.
Well, it's like none of them are totally benevolent, but they are all edging in that direction. Like if you look at Whole Foods, it's like they want to do the best for everybody, mm-hmm. and they do their best to contribute as much as they can to the people that are supporting them, the people that serve them, and the people they serve. And it's like if you take that kind of point of view, you're on the road. I can't off the top of my head remember there were two other ones that we had in our list of things.
Starbucks?
Right.
Gap?
No.
No?
No.
Nordstrom?
No.
Okay. Honeywell?
No.
Levi Strauss?
No.
So there are not many companies. I mean, that's the problem. No. Let me ask you, here's a question, and tell me this. Obviously, we're in the midst of the political silly season, and I steer far away from politics because there are plenty of other programs out there doing it. But since he is a businessman and well-known, would you describe Donald Trump as a benevolent capitalist?
You're fired. What do you think?
Okay. Now, he would say, of course, but I'm a success, and I'm a success because I am a hard ass, but not true.
Yeah, but it's like a hard ass doesn't make you a success. A hard ass means that you get to get rid of people when you decide they're not doing everything you want. Mm-hmm. Why is that more important than looking at what the world needs, et cetera? It's like right now, for an example, we're like mining like crazy. And it's like, and we're throwing away, in the United Kingdom alone, they throw away 100,000 cell phones per month. Now, each one of those cell phones has, and just gold and silver, not mentioning copper and other things, it has a minimum of $2 to $5 worth of silver and gold in it. What would be easier to mine? And there are new technologies. Like there's this fungus, a mushroom, that actually attracts gold and silver to it. And you could put that with these things, and we've done research to try and find out about some of these things. Mm-hmm. These are ways in which you can create, you can get that gold or that silver out of that thing. It's like you still have waste products, but that's an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. There was a young kid that was on, it was in the news. It's like he won in Sweden. He won the award for having come up with a filter system that costs $20 that will take heavy metals out of your water. He did it because he was Indian in background, and he went to India to visit his grandparents and discovered all of this toxic waste. It's a result of all the computers that have been thrown away into the dump and into the water supplies there. And it's like he developed this thing, and he's giving it away. He's giving it away. Now, this is a benevolent capitalist. Mm-hmm. He knows that we've got to improve the world if we're to survive. And most people are looking at how they take their share of the pie, not how they make a sustainable planet that can support us and grow beyond us. Whole different universe.
Yeah, it really is. I was interested in one part of your list of things that makes a company successful. And, of course, I get back to that asking the question of the person that you're hiring. You know, what questions have I not asked you that you would like me to know about you? It sounds so simple, and yet it's something that when I'm the boss, I don't think that makes me feel like I'm in charge. In your case, you're saying that's exactly what makes you in charge, because you are willing to listen to the good things and the thoughts of the people that you hire, right? I mean, that's just, it's so counterintuitive to how we think about what being the boss is. You know?
Yeah, well, everybody has this point of view that that the top of the pyramid chooses everything, and then it filters down to the lower levels. And it's like, my point of view is, it's like the people on the, on the shooting line are the people that get all the information. Should all that information filter down to the head of the company so he can make decisions that actually support the company in a dynamic way?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like I said this to a lady just a few days ago, and she was like horrified that I thought that, everything shouldn't come from the head of the company. It should come from the bottom of the company to the head of the company, so that they know how to make the correct decisions that change everything.
My guest is Gary Douglas, investor, CEO, author. He has done a number of important things, but the reason you're listening to him, folks, is because he's been there and done that. He's failed, and he is now successful, and he's somebody you should listen to. But here's something important that I want my audience. You say the three top tips to running a successful company is empower your staff, always ask questions, and then be willing to lose everything?
Yes. See, it's like if you're willing to lose everything, then you're not trying to hold on as though you've got the right answer. An example, Kodak Film, okay? Kodak was a major company, but they decided that digital was just not that, that great, and it would never take off. Kodak is now out of business.
Yeah.
That was not a good idea. The problem is, when you think you've got the right idea, you try to hold on to everything for fear you're not going to have anything in the future. And I mean, with, Steve Jobs, one of the things he did is he would, close down a section where he'd spend millions of dollars in research and put his attention someplace else, because that was the place where people were dying to get something. So he was always willing to be on the creative edge of possibility instead of the cutting edge of the technology. Cutting edge of the technology, somebody's going to get cut. Who's it going to be? You or somebody else?
Yeah.
If you're on the creative edge, you're always looking for the other possibility, the other thing that will create more.
Fascinating thoughts, folks. Benevolent capitalism. While we're away, I'm going to ask Gary to think of at least one other company besides Whole Foods that he thinks it represents benevolent capitalism. We'll come back and ask him that and what else he thinks is important that you should know, especially if you're about to start a business or you think you'd be a good businessman or woman. This is Home and Family Finance. We'll be right back. We are very pleased to have with us Gary Douglas, a successful entrepreneur, a businessman, a writer, and he's just an investor, somebody that has been out there and done it and says, hey, if you're going to do it the classy way. Care about the people you sell to, care about the products you sell, care about the business you're in, be benevolent, be kind. Well, Gary, that certainly sounds like pie in the sky to somebody listening there saying that's not how successful businesses made it. And your response is?
I'm successful. That's how I made it.
Okay.
I started out with $0. Okay. In my lifetime, I've lost everything four times.
Four times?
Four times. I lived at one time in my life. I lived with my son, my 5-year-old son, in a closet that wasn't much bigger than a queen size bed. In fact, it wasn't as big as a queen size bed. And it's like, I had a single mattress on the floor in the closet, and that's where I lived with my kid. I was spending $50 a week on cornflakes and milk because I couldn't afford anything else. And it's like, I've been at the bottom. I like it much better when I'm closer to the top, and I'm still not there yet. So, you go through the times when you're down all the way, And you go, okay, so what do I need to do here? And one of the things that's a big topic of conversation in business is risk management and managing the risk. My point of view is you don't have to risk everything, but you have to be willing to lose everything. If you're going to lose everything, then you will tend to keep on top of everything you need to keep on top of to make sure you don't lose. And that's called awareness. And it's like if everybody sought awareness, a whole different possibility would occur.
Interesting. Where can you find more information about your programs and about benevolent capitalism?
Well, it's like we have a website called benevolentcapitalism.com. And it's like you can go to that. You can just look up benevolent capitalism. And my co-founders with this are Steve and Chutisa Bowman. And they are people who work with boards and not-for-profits in Australia. And they've gone around the world trying to introduce the possibility and the question. It's like if you live in the question, you don't try to compute everything and figure it out. If you try to figure everything out, you're trying to make everything a zero and a one instead of, okay, what's actually possible? What else is possible?
Mm-hmm.
You start looking from that point of view, a whole different universe starts to open up.
If we're talking to some person, and we are to many right now listening who say, okay, I want to start a business. What do I do? What's the most important things? What are the most four or five most important elements that I need to have to be successful from your point of view?
Well, from my point of view, start out with what do I really want to create in the world, okay? You know, for me, I came up with six things. Number one, I wanted to do something that actually improved the world. Number two, I wanted to do something that was never boring. Number three, I wanted something that would make me at least $100,000 a year. And number four, I wanted to do something that would actually give me a sense that I had actually, that my life had been worth living at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And number five, where do I start? And I took that and I sort of put it out in the universe and I pulled energy into it from all over the universe. And I let little trickles go out to the entire universe and everybody who was looking for me asked them to show up in my life. And that's actually how it began. And that's the technique I use with people. When I start with them, when they start to work with me, what are the elements of your life? How do you want to do it? Do you want to travel? What do you want to do? It's not about do you want a BMW. It's not about do you want a five-bedroom house. It's not any of those things that create the life you'd like to have. It's what you're willing to be and do and have and create and generate to make your life having been worth living at the end of your life.
Do you find, and I guess there has to be qualities in leadership, and then we got to wrap it up, but is there one particular quality that you're looking for that says to you, this guy or this gal could be a successful leader?
Yeah, one successful thing, man who asks questions and listens to the answer. There are lots of people who will ask you a question but don't listen to your answer. They use it as a stepping stone to tell you something more about them.
Mm-hmm.
Always ask the question.
Ask the question. My guest is Gary Douglas. The question I asked him is, would he come on the show? And he said yes. And I'm certainly glad that you did, Gary. It's a pleasure listening to you. Come back and see us again soon, would you please?
Thank you much. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. You can find more about him at benevolentcapitalism.com. And you can get more about this program by listening every week. We hope that you do. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Home and Family Finance here on Radio America. Al Peterson, thank you very much for your time. Tally Berry, wherever you are, thank you for your production pieces. And we'll be back next week looking for you. And thank you for your attendance.